Springfield's Talk 104.1. Hey, everybody. Good Wednesday morning. Looks like a chance of showers, thunderstorms today. Tomorrow, Friday as well. I kind of just gave you the forecast, but I will give a more detailed version of it here. Just coming up in a couple of moments of some of the stuff that we are going to cover today. There's more analysis that continues to develop by the brilliant minds that deliver us the elected officials that we get, and it's regarding the lack of popularity that Joe Biden is experiencing. And of course, the White House is blaming it on people that don't like him. You know, well, it's their fault they don't like him. We heard this with Jen Psaki and the fact that, they're just people that still won't listen to him, still won't do what he says. If they would just do what he says, if they would just like him, if they wouldn't question and think for themselves and just do what he says, then everybody would like him. It's sort of the Kim Jong-un approach to things, you know. I will force you to like me. And if you don't, this is your problem. You're the bad guy, and you should be punished for it. Now, the ramifications aren't quite as severe here in the States as it is in the in North Korea, but nonetheless, the approach is the same. If you don't love the dear leader, the problem is with you. All that being said, there is a reality here, because we still do, to a degree, have elections. I mean, we have elections, but of course, Democrats are trying to use their power on the federal level to rewrite how we do elections so that they can ultimately control the outcome of the elections. We've seen them try and do away with our electoral system so that they can pretty much win every election from here on out, with the exception of a few areas of the country that don't really matter. We have seen their ballot harvesting efforts in play. And so while there have been numerous steps forward that make it easier for them to manipulate elections, to some degree, there still is the need to win people over. So what is going on? Democrats are really, we're starting to see some of these think pieces about what is it that Biden can do? The decline is alarming. That's part of the headline in a Politico piece, so we'll talk on that. Kim Jong-un has announced North Korea is seeking an invincible military, blaming us for the tension. So again, we're going back to the pre-Trump era, in which our enemies no longer fear us and feel based on our demonstrations of leadership or the lack thereof throughout the world that this is a time for them to strike if they want to. This is a time for them to advance their capabilities, to build up bit by bit. And we're seeing that with Iran, and we are seeing that with North Korea. And as you can tell, they aren't worried about us knowing about it. See, that should tell you something. They're fully open. And this is because there is no fear. And if there was any question about how a Biden administration would deal with the, quote, enemy, he certainly answered that in Afghanistan, and he continues to. It's one thing if you make a mistake in judgment and you recognize, okay, this didn't go well, so we're going to pivot and start doing things in a way that does go well. But that's not what we do. We're still talking about the Taliban and our hopes that they'll be inclusive in their cabinet and start to demonstrate what they've promised, and that is equity and equality, and promising to give them aid, which is, of course, how North Korea got to the point that it had nuclear capabilities. And so the world sees. The world knows what's going on. Jen Psaki can say whatever she wants, but the world isn't stupid. This is part of the reason there are tens of thousands of illegals continuing to come to the border. Because while Jen Psaki may get up there and say everything's under control, our border is closed, everyone in the world knows the reality of what's going on in this country. You know, in Rome, this is a fascinating thing I'd like to talk about here in just a couple of moments. there were protests in Rome, and these protests, thousands of people in the street, and it's regarding vaccine mandates. And you may not realize this by watching mainstream media, but this is happening all over the world. I saw a piece, Jared Leto, the actor and musician, got his start, as best I remember from my so-called life, as Jordan Catalano, and he's played the Joker in some of these offshoot movies. And, of course, he's been in a number of other roles as well. But point being is he got tear gassed, I think, somewhere. It may have been the same protest in Rome. If not, it was somewhere else in Italy, I believe. So these protests are occurring. France, other areas of Europe. As the thousands of protesters marched through the streets, at one point they passed by the U.S. Embassy. You know what they're chanting in English? They're chanting F. Joe Biden. It wasn't much over a year ago when people in the world were protesting oppression, be it Cuba, be it Hong Kong, they would wave American flags and they would chant Trump's name. They would chant American themes. We have gone in a year's time from that to people internationally chanting F. Joe Biden. And here's what I want to talk about. It's not simply because people liked Trump internationally and don't like Joe Biden. It's much, much larger than that, and it's sad, and I want to talk about that. Also, a little pre-selling here. The 7 o'clock hour, of course, that was D's hour. And although Monday morning with the beginning of the show said some words regarding D. Wampler and his passing, and primarily trying to relay to you how important you all were to him and how much your messages meant to him, how much it meant to him when you would come up and talk to him about things he talked about on the show, be it stopping Frisky or the old days in Springfield or constitutional law or about movies. We're going to today in the 7 o'clock hour play some past conversations with D. Wampler, just a combination of things. I mean, some of it, I suppose, is appropriate given his passing. Some of it's just fun conversation. And some of it's just so you can, you know, those of you who listen in the 7 o'clock hour Wednesdays to hear D, none of us knew that last Wednesday, as that hour wrapped up, that would be the last. And so just if anything, to be able to hear him in the 7 o'clock hour today again, with at least the knowledge that that is coming to an end. And don't forget, we always have the on-demand section as well, sponsored by GunTech and Nixa. And you can always go back and listen to those episodes with the Wampler as well. But that's something that'll be coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. Jason Reimer with the latest news update. The First Alert forecast, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service, a chance of showers, thunderstorms today, high of 76, chance of showers, thunderstorms tonight, low of 60. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow with a high of 70, and Friday a chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny with a high of 64. It is 67. I got some fun audio. This is just, I think, I don't know why I like this. I don't know if I should like it. Maybe I shouldn't like it. There was an event on Sunday. It was the Napa Super Dirt Week Pro Stock 50 event, Oswego Speedway. I believe this is in New York. Have you seen this video?
No. Am I going to enjoy it?
I think so.
Okay,
so
good.
What they did is this was being broadcast on, I don't know what network, but on some network. And you had the host, and they got some kids, three kids from the crowd, to help them kick off the race, to start the race. And this is how that went.
Parts, they're going to help kick this thing off. All right, guys, ready? In 3, 2, 1.
Drivers, start your engines.
Let's go, Brandon.
The guy who was, you know, doing the MC and her host, and he just kind of looks at the camera like, welp. You got Let's Go Brandon. The kid looked like maybe he was 10, 8, 9, 10 years old or so. Let's Go Brandon. I know many of you know Let's Go Brandon. Let's Go Brandon is, I guess you'd say, code for F. Joe Biden. And this came about because of, I think it was a NASCAR race, and the winner of the race was being interviewed. It was Brandon somebody. And the crowd is chanting F. Joe Biden, which has become an international chant when crowds gather together. And the NBC reporter tried to claim they were saying, Let's Go Brandon, when it was clear everyone knew what was being said, because it's something that is being said at events like this for weeks now, whether it's, you know, major league sports or college level or racing, whatever it might be, and just protests as well. So it's obvious this is something that has come to be expected, and it's a bit of a double swipe, I think. One, the Let's Go Brandon, it's a continued swipe at the White House, but also at mainstream journalism in today's day and age, and the constant attempt to manipulate information so that people will believe certain things. And of course, we can't have people believing that the dear leader isn't loved and adored by everyone. And so when you have crowds chanting F. Joe Biden, oh no, they're clearly saying Let's Go Brandon. And so that has become the new F. Joe Biden, which is kind of nice, because there you were talking yesterday, Sarah, there was I think it was a college university that was chanting, Let's Go Brandon.
Oh, so it was over the weekend.
Yeah, so it allows those that perhaps don't want to be off color to also participate. In fact, you said that you posted a picture of it on our Facebook page, and one of the students that was in the photo commented on it.
Yeah, somebody had tagged him in it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. So it is a bit of fun, but at the same time, here is a story regarding this F. Joe Biden deal. And it says, the F. Joe Biden movement has become a national movement, showing up from college football games to protest marches, making it to concerts and onto live television. It's even become so popular it produced its own spinoff chant, Let's Go Brandon, in part because of the refusal of an NBC reporter to acknowledge what the crowd was actually shouting. Now, the chant has gone international. We reported on the massive anti-vaccine mandate protest over the weekend in Rome on Saturday. They came out against requiring the green pass in order to be able to work for both public and private workplaces. Employers and employees can both face fines if they don't go along with this, and public workers can be suspended if they show up for work 5 times without the pass. Italy has already been requiring the pass to enter museums, theaters, gyms, and indoor restaurants, and take long-distance trains and buses or domestic flights. Things got out of hand with the police hitting people with batons and water cannons, and the people are fighting back. The protest was at the same time that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was supposed to be doing the second reading at a mass. Instead, the priest announced that there had been a security incident and she would not be able to do it. It's not clear what the incident was or if it had anything to do with the protest. The low ball count of this particular protest was 10,000 people. A high count from the protest organizer was 100,000. But it turns out some of the folks had thoughts about Joe Biden, too. When they marched down the Via Veneto and right past the American Embassy, you can clearly hear the F. Joe Biden chant. And I watched the video and it was clear. And you know, just thousands of people marching and chanting this at the U.S. Embassy. Now, I'm not going to pretend that when Trump was president, or Bush for that matter, that you would not see parades of people with these the images of you know, Bush as Hitler or Trump as some sort of dictator. You know, they'd make these floats and you would see that sort of thing. So there's always criticism against the United States. In the past, however, when you would see that sort of display, it generally was just, it was regarding things that were going on in the world. You know, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, these things that were more just an issue deal. There's a difference in what's happening now. What you have now are people that are openly displaying criticism of the United States when it comes to calling out countries, or in this case specifically presidents of countries, that are in opposition to freedom and liberty. The same people, I don't mean the exact same people, but the people of the cause of liberty and freedom that a year, 2 years ago, that were waving American flags, that were using Trump's name as a rallying cry, are now cursing the U.S. president. This isn't the same thing that we've seen in the past with criticisms of presidents because of, you know, wars and you know international monetary fund issues. This shift when it comes specifically to liberty and freedom. See, in the past, when people throughout the world were displaying some sort of rallying cry against their own government in the name of freedom and liberty, when that was the issue, when it was freedom, images of the United States were put on display. In Hong Kong, they would sing, I think it was the national anthem or God Bless America, that all of these images of the United States. And the reason they did that is because, universally, love the U.S. or hate the U.S., it has been seen during our lifetimes as a beacon of liberty and freedom. For all the criticisms of presidents, of wars, that was the one thing, for all our mistakes, when it came to, we want people in the world to understand that our message is about liberty, our message is about freedom, our message is about equality, then the United States, those were the symbols that were displayed. I mentioned Hong Kong, and most recently, though it's been some time, this is what we saw occurring in Cuba. We interviewed from Cuba not long after a student there talking about that very thing. What is remarkable, and unfortunately it is very, very sad, is what we are beginning to see now is when people are protesting against tyranny and oppression, they are now invoking the name of the United States. Instead of invoking the name as a symbol of freedom and liberty, they're invoking it as a symbol of tyranny. So the people who are marching in the streets against oppression, specifically in this case, Rome, over the weekend, no longer in the world are people holding up the American flags, using Trump's name as a symbol of America, singing our songs in order to say yes, because America is freedom, because that's what we want. We want liberty. They are cursing our name now because we no longer in their eyes represent that, but instead represent the same sort of tyranny they're facing. We live in a world where there will always be people that burn the American flag. There will always be people that have effigies of an American president. But the difference here is when it comes to the people in the world whose sole message is liberty, there has been this 180-degree shift from, yeah, just like America, to F Joe Biden. I suppose perhaps this is part of the reputation that Democrats have been talking about recovering. When they talked about getting rid of Donald Trump and America is back, baby, I guess that's what they were talking about. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. Did you see she started a blog?
Oh, no.
I think it's emilyjohnson.net.
Oh, very nice.
Check that
nice.
Out.
See hey, if that, she's see looking if I'm for accurate. A specific house.
Oh, she is? Do you know what it is?
I believe she's looking for a house with a pool in a specific area of Springfield. It's on her Facebook page.
All right. Well, I saw that she had... I thought I sent it to myself. I must not have. I think it's emilyjohnson.net. Check that out real quick, like, and see if I'm correct on that. And it is for homeowners and just tips on being a homeowner. For example, her most recent, and perhaps it's her first posting, or things that you should do as we transition into autumn and into winter, you know, have you know, your central heating checked out and the reasons why that's important. It'll check your windows and doors for any sort of drafts because that can have a tremendous impact on your utilities. And that, of course, is, you know, right here. And well, any of you that have CU and they're like, by the way, if your average gas bill during the winter was $75 a month, prepare for $150. There are things that you can do that can at least cut down on your usage of energy. We may not be able to do much about the price itself until, you know, maybe somebody new is in the White House. But in the meantime, that's a step people can take. Was that the site?
It is. It looks really good, too.
Yeah, it does. Well, I mean, are you surprised?
No, not really, it does look fantastic.
That was my first thought. I was like, man, this looks really, like, it would be a site developed by some nationally known person. And then I was like, well, it is Emily Johnson, so it doesn't surprise me that it's not, you know, that it's done really, really, really well. So that's a resource for you, even if you're not looking to buy or sell a home, that you can use. And that's just the sort of person Emily Johnson is. She's always trying to help people improve their situation, whatever it may be, homeowner looking to sell your home or looking to buy a home. So all of your real estate needs, Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, and her contact info. We should also get that under the Nick's endorsements.
Yeah.
That link under there as well so people can check it out too. First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Chance of showers, thunderstorms today with a high of 76. A chance of showers, storms tonight, 70. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm with a high of 70 tomorrow. And Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 64. It is 67. The on-demand section is sponsored by Gun Tech Nick's. Of course, as you know, overnight Thursday into Friday early morning, our friend Dee Wampler passed away, and many of you listen specifically for him, or you listen all the time, and I know it was so many people's favorite segment. They love hearing Dee on the program. The 7 o'clock hour, we are going to play some segments from some of the past shows. Combination of things, I'll just tell you up front. One is going to be more of a, you know, personal segment where he talks a little bit about his life and things that he was going through. We've got some discussion about the law. I know a lot of you like that. And then there's some more lighthearted stuff regarding Stop and Frisky and animals. And so we try to get a good combination of things. And that way, at least you have the opportunity to hear him one last time in the 7 o'clock hour on a Wednesday, given that last Wednesday, none of us expected... we all expected that we would hear him today, and so it's not the same, but it is something, and that will, again, be coming up in the next hour. Communist dictator Kim Jong-un has announced that North Korea is building an invisible army to protect itself and accused the U.S. of causing trouble in the region by treating it as a hostile. Yesterday, the dear leader said the U.S. has frequently signaled it's not hostile to our state, but there is no action-based evidence to make us believe that they are not hostile. The U.S. is continuing to create tension in the region, with its wrong judgments and actions. The communist leader pinned an increase in tension in the North Korean peninsula on the U.S., arguing that it was being aggressive towards the nation. The solution he offered was to ward off any attacks on the nation by creating an invincible military capability. I think I said invisible earlier, invincible. Although that would be pretty cool if you could create an invisible army. It's an invincible army. His comment, which occurred in commemoration of the 76th anniversary of the Workers' Party, also included military displays. The displays featured an exhibit of new intercontinental ballistic missiles with a military parade and jets flying over, according to the Associated Press. Other reports detailed how one of the displayed intercontinental ballistic missiles would be one of the biggest of its kind. The missile is a monster, according to Melissa Hanham of the Open Nuclear Network. This is what she told Reuters. So we're back to the way things were pre-Trump. What I think is interesting, although not unexpected, is the worldview of Trump's approach and how it was going to provoke North Korea. Remember that? You remember that? When Trump referred to Kim Jong-un as Rocket Man, poking fun at him. And in the beginning of the getting to know you phase between Trump and Kim Jong-un, before they actually met in person, and Kim Jong-un talked about, well, we'll just send some missiles your way. And Trump, his response, we have a lot more than you do, and they're bigger. Straightforward. And we'll use them. You even think about it. You will be absolutely leveled. And the left went nuts. What sort of insane madman is Trump? You don't poke an angry bear. You're going to provoke him into attacking. The very same people who told us that Trump was going to increase hostilities while the result was a decrease in hostilities are presiding over an increase in hostilities. That we are seeing this increase in hostilities that they told us we were going to see under Trump when we didn't, but now we're seeing it under them. There is a bit of an irony here because I do believe that the left and some of the moderate, even moderate Republicans are included in this reaction to Donald Trump's approach to North Korea. I believe they actually helped Trump keep the peace to some degree. They didn't mean to. Their public and very loud declarations that Trump was some sort of madman that we needed to worry about because he was willing to start a nuclear war had an impact, I think, on Kim Jong-un. I think he heard that. So, ironically, the left who wanted to see Trump fail tremendously, I think that they probably actually helped him get Kim Jong-un to behave a bit, because while Trump would openly say, oh, hey, Rocket Man, oh, you think you're going to attack us? We will destroy you. We have bigger bombs. We have a lot more bombs than you. We will wipe you off the map. If he had any question as to whether or not Trump was bluffing, all he had to do is turn on CNN or MSNBC or any of the major news networks or listen to any of the late night talk show hosts, and everyone was freaking out saying, Trump will do it. He's out of his mind. We got to do something about this guy. And that surely had to have an impact on Kim Jong-un. So as much as they might hate to admit it, they actually helped Trump in that capacity. And for that moment of time, we should be grateful for that, although it was not intentional, because it did simmer things down between North Korea and the United States. Unfortunately, however, we are back to doing things the old way, in which there is no respect, there's no fear, And Kim Jong-un knows it, and this is why he's beginning to misbehave. In a very bad and meaningful way. I mentioned yesterday, just to show you that this is a pattern of foreign policy, the Biden administration lifted sanctions on two companies that were helping Iran with their intercontinental ballistic missile programs that could help deliver nuclear weapons to Israel or even beyond. These were sanctions that were put in place by Trump. There is no reason for this that is beneficial to the United States or the safety of the world. And for a man, Joe Biden, who ran around accusing Trump of being the friend of the worst people in the world and cozying up to dictators, this guy cannot stop doing favors for some of the world's worst leaders. Up to and including the number one exporter of terrorism in the world. Iran has gone from a reality in which the president of the United States would take out their top military asset, that being Soleimani, to a president that is lifting sanctions, that is making offers to them, that is once again saying, what can we do for you? Do we think that what reasonable person can look at that scenario and say, oh yes, that's going to turn out great for the world? Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Queen City Motors Talk and Text Line. I'm glad this was texted in. It's something that I thought of, but I didn't know the full details of it enough, or like the name of it. It was regarding Dee Wampler, and in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to play some segments from past shows of his. But they mentioned this individual is on the board of the Messiah Project with Dee. He was a huge supporter of the nativity sets we put up around town every Christmas. And I remember
this, I remember that too.
Yeah, that he had talked about this, but I couldn't remember the name of the organization, or because I believe these are some that you would see at the area McDonald's. Those are the ones that always stood out, those McDonald's that are locally owned, and other areas as well. But I know those have always stood out to me. But he was instrumental in that and part of that project. Another thing that they do every year is Heritage of Hymns. And that 2021 concert is this coming Saturday, the 16th at 7 p.m. at Evangel University Chapel. So that may be something that you're interested in doing. Something else that he did, I remember that he just would mention it to me. Not, you know, the thing about Dee, he did a lot. He was always doing things to help people, but he didn't go around talking about it or bragging about it, but he'd mention it if, you know, you were like, oh, so what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I did this, or, you know, just in a casual manner. And I believe it was annually, he would take preteens and teens. It was, I think it was before school would start. He would take them to the mall to shop for clothes, shop for shoes, shop for things that they needed. And I think it was a preschool, I say pre, like before school started thing, not preschool as in pre-K. And you know, these were kids that maybe didn't have the means, or the families that didn't have the means to do it. And what I liked about it is it wasn't just, oh, here's a check, but he went with them. And I'm not sure if that was something he was still doing, but I know he had mentioned that in the past. These are just the sorts of things that he did because he felt that it was just a good and right thing to do. He didn't do it for attention. He didn't send out press releases about doing it. Or, you know, make all sorts of postings on social media, letting people know that that's what he was doing, which in this day and age is something we see all the time, and people do make those postings quite often. Sometimes it's to promote the cause itself or the charitable organization, But Dee just wasn't that way. He did it quietly, he did it humbly, and he did it because he felt it was the right thing to do. So I appreciate whomever texted that in mentioning that, because it's one of those things that I knew that he was involved in, but I didn't know the name of the organization, and so I, you know, it would seem a bit cumbersome me trying to talk through it. Maxine Waters. There's no way to really segue here, so I'll just go into it. Maxine Waters raises eyebrows with bizarre post claiming Twitter was hacked. I know who has done this. So Maxine Waters gets on Twitter, or somebody within her organization. I just assume oftentimes whenever there's a Twitter post from Maxine Waters, it's not actually her. But it may very well be. It, evidently what happened, she sent out this tweet saying, "I've been hacked and my Twitter account has been erased. I know who has done this. I will take care of this." And then her signature at the end. The reason, though, it was so odd is because her Twitter account had apparently not been hacked and it had not been erased. People, upon her angry tweet or perhaps paranoid tweet, began scrolling down and noticed that there was nothing was everything was there. Waters' official account that made the post claiming the hack still had tweets as far back as 2017. That in fact was pinned to the top of her account. According to Fox News, it also appeared that Waters or somebody for her campaign had been tweeting multiple times within the past 24 hours. And not anything like bizarre or weird that you would say, oh, somebody hacked and did that. It wasn't anything outside of the norm for Maxine Waters. A staffer for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, when asked about this, tried to play it off, joking, "I have no inside knowledge about this, but I'm working to secure the movie rights." And so that dismissive, this is sort of a funny thing to talk about attitude suggests that something weird is going on if there's just some sort of paranoia or a dementia situation with her. Whatever it is, it's clear by the reaction from the Speaker of the House. They're trying to play it off as if there's nothing to see here, but it certainly is odd. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. The upcoming hours was, of course, Dee's hour, and we are going to play a few segments from recently passed editions of Dee's hour, so we'll have that coming up. We've got the Friday Road Show at Scramblers on Friday, just a notation for you there, sponsored by Queen City Motors. News in 60 seconds, I'm Nick Reed.